Welcome on board the 10th of June 1907. Welcome on board the fascinating story of the biggest object ever built by man. Welcome on board the reconstruction of the Ship of Dreams. Welcome on board the Titanic. The story of the Titanic begins here. In the mansion that you can see in that framed picture on the lectern. It was behind the porticos of that white mansion in London. Owned by Lord James Pirrie, Major of Belfast and major shareholder of both Hartland and Wolff, the most important shipyards worldwide. That, during a private dinner on the 10th of June 1907, Lord Pirrie and Bruce Ismay, managing director of the shipping company White Star Lines, decided to build the three biggest ships ever seen. That evening, they also chose their names, those of three gods: Olympic, Titanic, and Gigantic. The name of the latter was changed to Britannic after the Titanic disaster. This mansion where the Titanic was born has happened to become the Spanish Embassy in the United Kingdom. Showcase number one. As you can imagine, the Titanic, and especially its massive hull, was mainly made out of steel. In this first showcase, we can see six of the tools that were used to heat and set the rivets. They are original tools that have been provided by the Museo Marítimo de Barcelona. The hull of the Titanic was made up of 2,100 steel sheets. Each of them was 9 meters long, 1.8 meters high, and 2.5 centimeters thick. Without rivets, each sheet had a weight of up to 4,250 kilograms. As a whole, the hull alone weighed 26,000 tons. All sheets were riveted. These rivets were made out of steel or iron, depending on where they were going to be placed. They were manipulated with the tools that you can see in showcase number one. Showcase number two. Apart from steel, tons and tons of other building materials were used to design the Titanic's interiors. In showcase number two, you can see some of them. Carrara marble, oak paneling, bronze, crystal, glass, and iron slag, which was key to the sinking of the Titanic, as you will see in showcase number five. Oak panelling was mainly used to build the staircase, the halls, and the first class cabins. Showcase number three. 210 carpenters and cabinet makers worked for thousands of hours to build the interiors of the Titanic, using the finest wood. In first-class areas, and of course in the staircase, they used oak panelling, a very hard-to-come-by and expensive wood that was only used in the furniture of castles and palaces. In showcase number three, you can see some of the original tools that were used in 1912 by these carpenters and cabinet makers. Showcase number 4. In this showcase, you can see some of the objects from the engine room. Steam pressure gauge, oil valves, an oil can, and one of the original plans of the engine room. The Titanic had 3 huge steam engines, fueled by 29 boilers. These great engines, which were 21 meters high, almost as a 5-4 building, delivered 30,000 horsepower. They allowed the Titanic to sail at 30 knots, thus making it the fastest ship ever. Showcase number 5. Survivors of the Titanic's disaster don't agree on many things, but they all stated that the lights on the ship remained on until it fully disappeared. This little detail is very important. Can you just imagine the evacuation of a ship as big as the Titanic in complete and utter darkness? There is no doubt that the loss of human lives would have been much higher. Reasons kept the light shining until the end. First, the sacrifice of the staff in the boiler and engine room, and secondly, the electric material that was used on board. You can find an example in showcase number 5, where you will see 2 plugs and a switch, all of them waterproof and made of bronze, not affected at all by water or blows. You can also see a copy of the original plans of the Titanic electric installation. Showcase number 6. In this showcase, you can see an original bellow, which was intended to fuel the flame to heat the rivets. You will also find a reproduction of the rivets in their original size and a picture of the hull of the Titanic, where the rivets can be clearly seen. Remember that in 1910, welding did not exist yet, and iron sheets had to be riveted together. In the Titanic, more than 3 million rivets were used. 60% of them were fitted with hydraulic machinery, while the rest were fixed manually. In showcase number 2, among other materials, you show a sample of the iron slag that was used in the Titanic. This material, no longer used, was utilized in the mix of steel and iron used for the rivets of the ship. Six years ago, a part of the Titanic hull was taken from the water and then analyzed. It was proved that, in 12% of all the rivets that were tested, the mix of slag was much higher than recommended, and therefore the rivets themselves were weaker. This could be key when the iceberg ripped the sheets apart, and thus it could have been one of the main reasons for the sinking of the Titanic. Showcase number 7. Now you can see and touch the original quality and thickness of the 2,100 great sheets that made up the Titanic. You can also see how the more than 3 million rivets joined them. This original sheet was restored and provided by the Parque de Ciencias de Granada. Spot number 8. Here you can enjoy the reproduction of one of the original Titanic boilers. The Titanic had 29 of them, which, thanks to coal combustion, provided the necessary energy to activate the three great engines that propel the ship. The Titanic boilers were massive, 93 tons each. Every boiler had a diameter of 6.93 meters and a depth of 7 meters. The Titanic was carrying 6,000 tons of coal, enough for a round trip from Europe to America. 210 men worked in the engine room. They were the humblest crew members of the Titanic and worked in the lowest part of the ship, the temperature almost reaching 36 degrees centigrade. They were widely known as the Black Gang, due to the coating of coal on their faces. They were the real and unknown heroes of the Titanic. They all died in their endeavor to fuel the boilers with coal, so that the Titanic had energy to send distress calls and light to let the passengers abandon ship. Let this be our humble tribute to them. Showcase number 9. In showcase number 9, you will find some of the original navigation tools. The sextant is probably the most important one. This instrument is used to measure the angle between two objects, such as the coastline and a star, the horizon and the sun in most cases. If you know the solar elevation and the time, you can find out the latitude of the ship. Thanks to the data provided by the sextant, this location can be easily known with some simple mathematical calculations. You will also find some binoculars, a marine compass, and a navigation chart with the route of the Titanic. Showcase number 10. Here you can see a very important document in the history of the Titanic. It's the seaman's book of butler Alexander James Littlejohn. He boarded boat 13 and survived. When he reached New York on board the Carpathia and was asked by journalists, he declared, "I have about 35 women and children in boat 13. We shouted for more women because we had room, but none were forthcoming. Took on a few first-class male passengers. An officer ordered two of us to get in and help row the boat. That's how I got to be one of the fortunate ones. We could see the Titanic sinking by the bow, with all her lights on. We watched her like this for some time, and then, suddenly, she plunged forward and all the lights went out. Immediately after that, there were terrible cries for help. They were awful and heartbreaking." As I said earlier, this seaman's book is really important. Have a close look and you will see that Alexander boarded the Titanic on the 10th of April and was officially disembarked on the 15th, when the number and, of course, the names of the survivors were still unknown. It's clear that the company committed an irregularity. Did they do the same with every passenger on the Titanic? Did they disembark them all before even knowing if they were alive or had died? This document clarifies things. In this showcase, you will also find two immigration certificates that were on board the Titanic. Showcase number 11. In this showcase, you can see two original navigation tools, a megaphone and an auxiliary compass. The alcohol-based auxiliary magnetic compass is the most important one, an instrument that was really appreciated by captains at the time. And now that you can see these navigation tools, it is time to say a few words about Captain Edward James Smith. He was known as the Millionaire's Captain, for the White Star Line always entrusted him with their most important ships, where millionaires always travelled. He had already worked for the company for 35 years, and this trip was to be his last, as he was about to retire. Captain Smith died on the bridge of the Titanic, when both him and the ship went down. His body was never found. We are in spot number 12. Few characters in the history of the Ship of Dreams are as cherished and admired as the musicians on board the Titanic. Like most of the survivors stated, they say that when they left the ship, the musicians kept playing on deck. One of the survivors even said that he had asked the musicians to board a half-full boat, but they had denied the invitation so that they could make the death of the rest less tragic. One of them gave Eleanor Widener, one of the survivors, a farewell letter, his watch, and a wedding ring, so that he could give them to his wife. Undoubtedly, they were real heroes. What survivors don't agree on is the last song they played before they died. Some say it was a waltz or a polka, but most of them state it was the religious hymn, Nearer, My God, to Thee. In room number 8, you can see two showcases containing the original instruments and pictures of the musicians. In the center, close to the whirlpool, you can find an enlarged version of the original Nearer, My God, to Thee music sheet, which you are enjoying right now. Image number 13. In this original picture, you can see an officer and two assistants on board the auxiliary vessel of the port authorities in Queenstown, examining the signal lamps that were to be boarded on the Titanic. Unfortunately, even though they had passed all the tests, they were of little use on the ship. Below the picture, you will find some links of the anchor chains. The Titanic had three anchors, one on either side and one on the prow, in the center. This was the sheet anchor, only for emergencies. The three anchors together were 31 tons. Only every link of the chain was 69 kilograms. Image number 14. In this picture, you can see the huge size of the helm and the screw shaft of the Titanic. Let's illustrate this with some information. The Titanic had three propellers, one in the middle with four blades and a diameter of 5 meters, and two more propellers on its sides, with three blades and a 7 meter diameter. The three propellers together had a weight of 21 tons. The helm of the Titanic, which you can also see in the picture, weighed 9,139 kilograms. Just compare the size of the workers with that of the shaft and the helm. Image number 15. In this beautiful picture, you can see the great and splendid bow of the Titanic. Its svelte and narrow design transformed the Titanic into the fastest ship of its time. Even sailing at 33 knots, a speed that's not common even for today's transatlantics. Image number 16. In this picture, you can see one of the three massive engines that propel the Titanic. These engines, which were 21 meters high as a six-floor building, had 33,000 horsepower that allowed the Titanic to sail at 33 knots. Image number 17. This is one of the four enormous funnels of the Titanic. From the upper deck, the funnels were 21 meters high. Inside them, which had a diameter of 6.9 meters, there was enough space for two high-speed trains. Number 18. The piece that you can see now is an original and historical object of the White Star Line, owners of the Titanic. It's a very special piece. Even after all these years, it is still in the best of conditions. Spot number 19. Let's now dive into the cargo hold of the Titanic. Here is where the works of art that some of the wealthy passengers had bought in Europe were carried. The piece that you can see here is El Sueño del Titanic, Titanic Dream, by Enrique Gran, an artist from Santander who died tragically in Madrid on the 8th of January 1999. This work of art, exceptional as it is, due to the imagination of the painter when reflecting on the image of, according to maritime experts, the Titanic in 100 years' time, has called the attention of many famous art collectors, among them Leonardo DiCaprio. Spot number 20. You are now in another hold of the Titanic, where three cars owned by three millionaires, two American and one European, were being taken to New York. This is the original and well-known car called the Titanic car. While you are enjoying the details of this masterwork, which is probably the oldest car still operational, you can hear a recording of its engine running, I will give you some more details. It's a Brush D24, built in Michigan, USA, in the year 1909 by the Brush brothers, who also designed the Cadillac. The Brush D24 was to be presented in Europe, in London and Paris in particular, and had to be embarked on the Titanic on the 18th of April 1912. It had already been waiting for a week at the New York port. As you know, the Titanic never reached New York, and this car had to be brought on the Titanic's twin ship, the Olympic. The car that you are seeing here was presented in London in May 1912, and 1 month later in Paris. It cost a fortune in those days, $639. But please remember that the average weekly income was $7.5. This great vehicle has a single engine cylinder and 10 horsepower, which allowed it to reach 36 kilometers per hour, even though the speed limit at that time was 23 kilometers per hour. This masterwork weighs 368 kilograms and was the first car to use shock absorbers instead of springs. It was also the first car to cross the Australian continent and to be driven by a woman, Alicia Hyler, an American woman who got her car from her father for her 21st birthday. Just listen to the great sound of this car's engine. Spot number 21. Before finishing your visit to the cargo hold of the Ship of Dreams, you are now entering the supply hold, which contained small objects and kitchenware. One wooden box containing bobbin lace works from the Galician town of Camarines travelled on board the Titanic towards New York. There, it was to be delivered to its salesperson in the city of Los Angeles, as you can see here in the handwritten letter on top of the box. The town hall of Camarines donated these works together with the pillow and the bobbins that, thanks to the imagination of the Galician palilleras, created these famous laces. As you can see, this cargo also holds bags of foodstuff, first-class cutlery, and boxes of Henri Abelet champagne, known as the Titanic champagne. Showcase number 22. In showcase number 22, you can enjoy a ball dress decorated with original objects and inspired by the wardrobe of a first-class passenger, Eleanor Widener. Now that you can see this amazing dress, let me remind you that Eleanor Widener was a millionaire passenger of the Titanic, who, together with her husband, her son, her butler and her maid, boarded the ship in Cherbourg, France, after a trip to Paris where they had bought the cloth for her daughter's wedding dress and hired a chef for their new hotel in Philadelphia. All men, including her young son, died. She and her maid survived. Here you can see a picture of Eleanor Widener and various dresses. Showcase number 23. In showcase number 23, you will find, from left to right, a blouse with original laces and gemstones, a natural silk-made parasol, and a hand-carved marble handle, a black gauze grain handbag with a frame with gemstone inlays. Showcase number 24. In showcase number 24, there is a real masterpiece. An original dress made of laces and gemstones. A real and expensive work of art. Which reminds us that Eleanor Widener was the owner of the most important library in the world. After the tragedy of the Titanic and to honor the memory of her son, she donated the library to the University of Harvard, provided that a plaque would be installed stating, "Young students, before learning to read, learn to swim." She asked this plaque to be placed because she always thought that her son had died because he couldn't swim. But actually, like most of the victims, the cause of his death was the low temperatures of the water. The library of the University of Harvard is named after Harry Widener. Showcase number 25. On top of this showcase, you can watch the projection of an exceptional document. The last interview of the last Titanic survivor, Melvina Dean. In this emotional interview, Melvina told us part of the survivor story.
Because it was never spoken, because my father was very handsome and she was broken-hearted.
Her declarations and documents were very valuable for us to write the real story of the Titanic and include important information that wasn't available to the general public and which you are enjoying in this visit for the first time.
But my grandfather had always been my father. He was Papa. Always my grandfather was Papa. And he adored me. And so I didn't ever miss a father.
Well, I'd done it years ago, I've forgotten it. And she gave me, and he said, "It sounds as if I'd got a real treasure. Will you start on Monday?" And so I couldn't say anything else, but yeah, 6'4", huge. And he said, "Take this down. I'll have to anyway, yeah. Take this down in shorthand, and then come back in an hour at your type it." So I was going, "Perhaps I'll remember. Perhaps I'll remember." He came back in an hour. He said,
In this showcase, you can see the picture of a baby Melvina Dean on board the Titanic. A little linen blouse with laces and one of her rings. Showcase number 26. As we have already seen, the only Spanish product in the cargo hold was a wooden box carrying bobbin lace work from Camarines to Los Angeles via New York. In this showcase, you can see a sun hat and ankle boots with laces from Camarines, as well as original gloves. Showcase number 27. During the four-day voyage of the Titanic, its first-class passengers enjoyed the most exquisite and expensive of champagne brands. Three of the best French brands were on board the Titanic. One of the oldest among them, Henri Abel, known as the Smile of Rennes. In this showcase, you can see the only original box from 1912, similar to the other 210 that travelled on the Titanic. This box has been kept like a treasure in this famous cellar, established in 1751, over 250 years ago, and which currently belongs to the Spanish company Freixenet. In this little audiovisual spot, you can see, on two different plasma screens, original pictures of the interiors of the Titanic on the left and the original plans of its construction on the right. Spot number 28. As you know, the Titanic is considered as one of the best hotels ever. Its luxurious first and second class cabins were just as good as those in the best hotels at the time, and even now. When the Titanic Foundation decided to build a life-sized replica of the toilets, it wasn't easy to find a company who would do so. We searched in many European countries, and eventually found it in Spain, in Santander. Bathco, one of the main companies in the construction of luxury bathrooms worldwide, accepted the challenge, and here you can see the extraordinary result. On the left, you can find an exact replica of the Titanic's second-class bathrooms. On your right, a first-class bathroom. We would like to thank Bathco for their great work. Spot number 29. Radio Marconi. In spot number 29, you will see a tribute to Guglielmo Marconi. Different and original radio sets for maritime transmission of the Spanish ship Capitan Segura. This ship was built in the Euskalduna shipyard from Bilbao in the year 1917. It was also scrapped in Bilbao in 1970 after 53 years of incredible history and bold navigation. As indicated by number 30, you will enjoy the original goniometer by Guglielmo Marconi. This tool was placed on the outside, on the upper part of the bridge, and it was used as a special aerial to help locate the ship in the open sea. It was similar to the beginnings of the current GPS we use in our cars. This goniometer was first tested by Guglielmo Marconi on the coast of the Italian city of Santa Marinella. Spot number 31. This is a great opportunity to remember, Facing the replica of the Marconi Titanic room, the words that the first man, Neil Armstrong, to walk on the face of the moon, said to the President of the USA. This is one giant leap for mankind. But it would never have been possible without Guglielmo Marconi. And it is about Guglielmo Marconi, who was so present in the history of the Titanic, that we are going to speak. The equipment on board was owned by Guglielmo Marconi, who personally managed the assembly works in Belfast, trained the operators, and performed the first sea trials. On the 6th of April 1912, facing the Belfast coast, Guglielmo Marconi himself did the first transmission tests. Here, Titanic. Transmission trials from the British coasts of Belfast. If any station can hear us, please respond. Over. Just imagine Marconi's face when he received the following answer.
Spanish station of Tenerife Radio Marítima. Titanic, we can hear you. Loud and clear. Over.
This story is not widely known, but it conveys the power of the Marconi transmission equipment on board the Titanic. Furthermore, before leaving Southampton, it was Marconi himself who told the operators to use the transmission code SOS in case of an emergency instead of CQD. Although much has been said about this new signal, the truth is that it was used due to the easiness of its Morse transmission. You don't need to be an expert to use it. It's only three dots, three dashes, and three dots. S, O, S. Marconi is the youngest Nobel laureate in physics, and we wouldn't have our mobile phones today if it hadn't been for one of his inventions. Image number 32. In picture number 7, you can see one of the Titanic lifeboats. Much has been written about the number of lifeboats on the Titanic, but it must be noticed that it carried more than those required by the maritime law of the time. Furthermore, they were very solid boats, able to carry 69 people each. The davits that held them were 4 meters high, which made them very easy to use and ensured a very comfortable embarkation. It is important to say that most of the boats were only half full when they left the ship, and being complete, i.e. an amount of 963 people, now there would be 261 more survivors, and not only the 712 that did survive. To check how safe the boats were, just take a look at the snatch block below and the 69 people that occupied the boat. Spot number 33. Isidore and Ida Strauss were, apart from one of the most important couples on the Titanic, the oldest people on board. Isidore Strauss was the owner of the department store Macy's store in New York, still one of the best worldwide. Isidor Strauss was also the president of the New York Businessmen. The story of this couple, whose picture you can see at image number 32, is one of those that doesn't seem human. This story was told by the chief baker of the Titanic, one of the few survivors among the crew. The mother of Milvina Dean, one of the third-class survivors, would always tell this story with tears in her eyes. The Strauss were assigned a place in boat 8, so there they went. When they reached the boat, Ida Strauss got on board, but when the officer asked Isidor to embark, he declined and said that the maritime laws state that women and children are to be saved first. The Titanic officer reminded Isidor Strauss that he was elderly, had been a congressman of the USA, and was an exemplary respected gentleman. But Isidor decided to stay on board and give his place to his wife. Then Ida Strauss left the lifeboat and jumped onto the Titanic. She hugged her husband and said, "We have lived and enjoyed a whole life together. If we have to die, let's do it together." Nor her husband, nor the officer, or the passengers who skeptically saw the love scene could convince Ida Strauss to take her place on the boat. Both of them, hand in hand, walked towards where the musicians were, laid on two hammocks, and hugged until the Titanic eventually sank. Isidore's body was found floating at sea, but Ida's was never found. A beautiful ending for a life full of love. We've arrived at last. Here we are, at the British port of Southampton, and today is the 10th of April 1912. The Titanic is about to sail its first and only journey. You are facing the biggest and most spectacular reproduction of the Titanic ever made. This reproduction will surely make you realize why the Titanic was known as the Ship of Dreams, or the best floating hotel of all times. The man responsible for this dream is Thomas Andrews, who, being only 39, managed the construction of the biggest moving object ever. Thomas Andrews was one of the heroes of the Titanic. He helped women and children board the lifeboats, and he even gave his place in one of them to save his wife. Please enjoy the details of this reconstruction. Let's just mention some of the famous parts of the Ship of Dreams. For instance, the medium-height bow foremast and the foretop where the lookouts Frederick Flea and Reginald Lee were watching on the night of the 14th of April 1912. Let's now follow along the bow deck, where you will find the mailroom of the ship. Please remember that the Titanic was a mailboat, and that it carried 1,500 bags of correspondence, containing more than 200,000 letters to America. And it was precisely in this mailroom where the iceberg struck the Titanic. The four postmen, three of them from Britain and another from America, were the first lost lives. You can also see the hold where the luggage, the works of art, and the boxes with auto parts were carried. The Titanic was the first ship in history to have a swimming pool, a gym, steam baths, a squash court, mechanical horses, vaulting horses, punching bags, rowing machines, stationary bicycles, almost as a whole contemporary gym. Among the four lifts on board the Titanic, three of them were for first-class passengers and the other for second. Another detail you can enjoy is the staircase, one of the beauty and luxury emblems of the Titanic. When you walked on it, you could see how the natural light entered the interior from the beautiful iron and glass dome, and how it was reflected on the warm oak panelling the staircase was made of. The golden balustrades were worth admiring too. On the landing floor, an oak carving that showed two people stretching their arms above a clock. They epitomised honour and glory, both virtues that had to prevail over time. Here you can clearly see the engine room, boilers, cold bunkers, cabins, the nursery, dining rooms, decks, lifeboats, everything that made the Titanic the most famous ship in history. This great ship was 296 metres in length. That is, three first division football pitches could have been built on its deck. Once the construction of the Titanic was over, it had a weight of over 46,369 tonnes. Now, we would like to pay a sincere tribute to the nine workers of the shipyards that died during the construction of the Titanic, as they fell from a 15-metre-high scaffolding. Barely 10 minutes had gone by since the lookouts had struck the gong they would strike every half hour to let everyone know that they were watching out. The clocks read 23:42 when Officer Murdoch, outside the bridge, saw the Titanic lights reflected on a massive white mountain that suddenly appeared at the bow. He entered the bridge shouting to the helmsman.
Iceberg right ahead! Half a starboard, full speed astern!
It was the perfect manoeuvre. So perfect that although the ship was sailing at 21 knots, it almost avoided the iceberg. But it couldn't. It was such a gentle touch, but it happened at the weakest part of the hull. The rivets collapsed, the sheets ripped apart, and the water slipped through them. Chief Engineer Thomas Andrews examined the damages and calculated that the water leaking was 10 times higher than the capacity of the water pumps. So he told Captain Smith, "We are sinking. Thanks to the ship's strength, it will take about 3 hours, but the Titanic will eventually sink." Upon hearing this report, the captain ordered the lowering of the lifeboats and the embarkment of women and children. There were not enough boats for everyone on the ship. People remained on deck with the musicians that, aiming to make these deaths less tragic, began to interpret this song, accompanied by everyone present. People were on board. Only 712 survived. 1,495 lost their lives. 40% of the first class passengers died. 59% of the second class passengers also died. The loss of lives among the third class passengers rose to 76%, 77% among the crew. Among the third class 6 largest families, no one survived. When the clocks read 2:20 on the 15th of April 1912, all lights suddenly turned off and the Titanic disappeared. Let these moments be our tribute, not only to the victims of the Titanic, but also to all those who have lost their lives at sea. On behalf of the Titanic Foundation and all the men and women who helped this dream come true, we would like to sincerely thank you for having lived, for more than an hour, the moving story of the Titanic. We have told you the real story, the one that was told to us by its real characters. 39 men and women from the 712 survivors of the tragedy, and who share their story with us. We hope that from now on, you become part of those millions of people that carry the story of the Titanic in their hearts worldwide. Let the motto of the Titanic, honor and glory crowning time, be present in our lives. And, as it happened on board the Ship of Dreams, our behavior be based on truthfulness, nobleness, and loyalty. To all those that life places in our paths, on this little wandering planet, wrongly known as Earth. Thank you for sharing some moments of your life in this exhibition that, with your help, will become one of the most visited in the world. Thank you. Thank you very much.